Good afternoon. It is 1:30 and you're listening to Talk on the Rock. I'm Colette Czarnecki with our guest, Tommy Wells, who is the Chamber of Commerce's Executive Director. We're going to learn a little bit about him and what's going on at the Chamber. Hi, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here with y'all.
Great. We're happy you're here. So you arrived here in Wrangell in the beginning of December, right?
I did. I landed here on December 2nd. And, you know, we got off the plane and we had a little Christmas event and hit the ground running.
Yeah, the Christmas event, which was a Midnight Madness.
Yes, Midnight Madness. Yeah. We got here. They put the tree up. They lit it up. It's pretty nice welcome. I didn't know they would light the tree up just for me when I got here. But, you know, I'm okay with it.
So I take it you're liking Wrangell then, huh?
I do. I really find Wrangell is a friendly community. Everybody's come by and they say, hello, how you doing? And being that I come from West Texas and we're kind of the sticker capital of the world, a lot of desert, not a lot of trees, so I get to Wrangell. They got grass, they got water and trees. I don't know what else you could do about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of, let's say, nutrients here.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's green. And I love the water, the smell of the water.
Yeah, definitely. I know what you're talking about. I feel like a lot of people probably know that.
Yeah. If you come from a town, if you come from the desert area where we are from in West Texas, and you come to the water, you're going, oh, I like that. That's kind of different.
Yeah. And I bet, I mean, you feel more hydrated. Yeah.
And then the wind's blowing and it's cold coming off the water. You walk faster. So you help your exercise. You get your exercise in quick.
Right. Definitely. Did you arrive by ferry or the plane?
I came in on the plane.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome. And so just for listeners, if you don't know or if you do, this is Talk on the Rock, the local call-in show. If you have any questions or comments for Tommy, you can call at 907-874-2345. So also, how do you like your job?
I love it. It's a fascinating job. I spent, you know, 40 years in the news industry. And so when it came time to try something new, I saw this. I thought, hey, I'll do that. And it has been a fascinating job because you're learning something new every day. We jumped off the plane and we almost immediately started talking about the 4th of July in, you know, January. And we're working on the royalty contest and stuff like that. So there's something always new to learn.
Yeah. Before you arrived, I arrived like 10 days before or a little more than that. So I've heard the 4th of July is a big event here, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I have heard that as well. And from all the planning we're doing, yeah, I'm thinking it's probably going to be.
Yeah, that's exciting. So can you talk about that then, the planning for the 4th? What do you want to share for people?
Well, right now, believe it or not, I'm just kind of getting up to speed with everyone else. And so the board of directors for the chamber has kind of been, they'll tell me, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. And then we have a new director, Kim Schottke, who has lived here for many, many years. And she's kind of taking me under her wing. And she walks around and she makes me a list every day. This is what you got to do. This is who you got to talk to. And, you know, we're just trying to get things planned so that it doesn't all hit me at one time.
I see. Can you give an example of what's on the list? Like, this is what you have to do. This is who you have to talk to. Well,
yeah, actually, last week she came in and she had a binder and she says, okay, we're going to start taking reservations for booths, you know, on the 4th of July. I had no clue at that time. You know, I know they had booths, but how do you set that up? And she's got this binder and got a checklist and it makes it rather easy, but now we're starting taking the reservation for the booths, and we've started doing everything else, you know, lining up stuff to get it going. I understand COVID kind of hit the 4th of July festival hard 2 years ago, and so we're trying to build back so we can get back to the level that we were.
Okay, and so you said for the booths, meaning like vendors?
Yes, for vendors, you know, like a food, the food booths or food tables, and any kind of vendors that want to come out and do that.
Yeah, when's the deadline for that then, if people are interested?
Well, I think they're going to probably go all the way up until we run out of space. And right now we've only had three or four people who've come in because they're so early into the process. So we have started taking those reservations. If someone wants them, they can reach me down at the chamber and we'll get that set up. But I think we'll go until we don't have any more. And if there's great demand, we'll find room for more.
That's great. How many booths do you think, like right now, are available?
All of them but four. For me to tell you how many, I'd be lying. Okay. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, yeah. And how much does it cost for a booth?
Depending whether you want electricity. If you want electricity, it's a little higher. I think, believe it's $60 or $70 for a table. If you do not require electricity, then it's a little bit cheaper. It's like $50.
Okay, great. So, a little bit about you. You're from Pasadena, Texas, which you just told me is right next to Houston.
It is. Pasadena is actually the home of the Houston Astrodome. And, you know, I might have told someone earlier that my grandparents were Irish. And so, and my mother and my father went to the Houston Astrodome when I was just still being born. My mother went into labor with me at the Houston Astrodome. And rather than stay there and get me free tickets, no, she had to leave. So they drove from the Astrodome to Southmore General Hospital in Pasadena, where I was born. And so if you know, my grandparents are Irish and I'm from Pasadena, that kind of makes me the little old laddie from Pasadena.
Wow, that's a great story. So you were almost born.
Yeah, it's something. It's been a sore spot with my mother for years and years. You know, I could have had free tickets for life, but now she had to leave and go to, you know, Pasadena.
So yeah, okay. And you were also a U.S. Navy veteran.
Yes, I am. I served on the USS Manitowoc and the USS Boulder, both LST class ships. Been all over the world. Great honor. It's something that a lot of members of my family have done, to serve in the military, and I just felt like I should do that.
Yeah.
Probably wanted to. I initially wanted to join the Marine Corps because I love their uniforms, but I have an older brother who served two tours in Vietnam, and he came back telling me about how they would have to cross these creeks and then scrape the leeches off of them, and I just thought that wasn't for me. I'm not scraping leeches off my arms and legs.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I've had leeches on my legs before. It's not fun.
Yeah. So I said, hey, Navy's good. Plus, I hear they had good food.
Is that true?
It is true. Our ship did a very good job of cooking.
Oh, wow. That's the first that I've heard. I've never really have a conversation about.
Yeah, unless it's on Friday, because I'm not a big fish eater. So if it's on Friday and you have fish day, you know, then you probably go hunt down the apples and the oranges and stuff like that.
So here, you're in Wrangell, where there's a lot of seafood. How are you? I'm sure you're eating other things than fish, huh?
I have probably eaten at every restaurant here in town, and I have to tell you, I love all kinds of food. I'm especially fond of anything that has to do with Mexican food, so... You know, being from Texas, of course, that's kind of one of my passions.
Yeah. Have you been to the Taqueria truck?
I have not seen the Taqueria truck yet, but I will at some point. I promise you.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And then also, on top of being a U.S. Navy veteran, you've been in the media industry for over 40 years.
I have. I worked mostly in the newspaper and the radio industry, and you know, you'd be surprised that they'd let somebody with this Texas accent on the radio, but it happens if you go back down south, you know, where I'm amongst the people like me, and we all sound the same. And so I've worked in the newspaper industry. I've been editor, publisher. My wife and I have owned about 10 newspapers, and we still own two in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, you were in the Navy first?
I was actually, yes, in the Navy first. When I got out of high school, I thought it'd be something really nice to just, you know, go off, and my wife and I could go see different places. And so they shipped me off to Norfolk, Virginia, and my wife got to stay in Texas, and I went everywhere.
Yeah. So, okay. And then you mentioned that you own two papers in Oklahoma. Did you live in Oklahoma? I'm just curious.
I have not. I've never lived in Oklahoma, but my wife and I, we've been involved in the media industry for years and years. And the number of newspapers is kind of dwindling nationwide. And I had found that there were two newspapers there on the Kiowa Indian Reservation in southern Oklahoma, and they were talking about closing them. So I made a deal with the people who owned them that I'll keep them going. And so Patty and I bought them, and we just keep them going.
Yeah. What are they called?
One is the Carnegie Herald in Carnegie, Oklahoma, and the other one is the Mountain View News in Mountain View, Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
And they're just located about, I'd say 45 miles north of Lawton, right on the Texas-Oklahoma border.
Okay. Wow. And what do you like about it then? Owning all these papers that you have owned and that you do own, what is it? It's the dwindling newsrooms and...
I think it goes back to that. I think I'm always a storyteller, and I think even in someone in the radio, you're telling a story, and it's my opportunity to contribute to society in a positive way. I can tell stories, which is only normal for me. It's normal.
Yeah, it's all about life, and everybody has a story, right?
All you gotta do is listen,
or read,
or read, yes,
or watch. Okay, and so after Texas, you came here, or to Alaska.
I did. Well, actually, in between, right after I had been discharged from the United States Navy, my wife and I, we moved to Russell, Kansas, and I was the editor of a daily newspaper there in Russell, and this is a funny coincidence, but one night before, we were sitting at home, we were watching television, and on TV comes the show North to Alaska with John Wayne. And my wife and I were sitting around, and we were marveling at all the trees. Now, you have to remember, we're from Texas, my wife and I, and so we don't have a lot of trees in the part of Texas we're at, in West Texas. So we were watching this movie going, oh, my gosh, look at those wonderful trees. And so the next day, I'm sitting at work. It's kind of slow. And I called up this guy named John Woodbury, who at that time was the managing editor of Alaska newspapers here in Anchorage. And I said, hey, my wife and I are thinking about coming to Alaska. And this summer, you have a part-time job I could do? And he said, hey, I got three spots open right now. And he said, well, one of them was Cordova. I never heard of Cordova. So I said, nah, probably not. And he said, we got another one in Dutch Harbor. I'm going, I've never heard of Dutch Harbor. And so I probably not. He said, well, I got one in Nome. Now, funny, we had just watched the show, and I thought, oh, we could see those trees. So I went home and told my wife, you're not going to believe it. I found us the perfect job. And my wife, she said, what, we're moving to Alaska? I said, yeah, how did you know that? She said, we're going to Nome. And this was 1998. The big internet stuff. So we actually loaded in the car and went down to the library, and we're looking through the books and to find out Nome, because we were going to drive there. And we looked on the map and we go, oh, hey, there's no roads there. Funny thing is, when we got to Nome, there were trees. There were three of them.
Wow. And so when you told your wife, her name's Patty.
Yes.
Was she excited? I'm curious. Was she?
She was very excited about it. She only had one stipulation. She said, Tommy, I'll go anywhere you want to go, but I am not living in an igloo. And so we got there. They only build the igloos for tourists.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit more about your experience in Nome?
Well, we had moved there, and when I first got there, I had worked for a little newspaper called the Bering Strait Record, which was owned by Alaska Newspapers. After about a year and a half, 2 years, A&I decided to close the record, and so I just went across the street and went to work for the Nome Nugget, and I worked with Nancy McGuire for probably the remainder of the 5 years that we were there. And at that point, my wife and I, we took a gamble. We purchased the Seward Phoenix Log down in Seward, and we moved down there, and we lived there for about a year and a half. And then it came an opportunity I have four children, two boys, two girls. My oldest son was graduating from high school and was headed off to, he wanted to play college football. And I wanted to go watch him try to do that, so we merged the newspaper there in Seward, and then we got to go. I went home to Texas.
Is that okay? So when you went back to Texas, is that when you We're the sports information director and the radio voice for the Ranger College Athletics.
I did it. When I went back, I took over as the sports information director for Ranger College. And just so happens that Ranger College is in my hometown of Ranger, Texas. So at, I got to do that. And we hit a spell where the administration decided we're going to win. And so they hired former University of Kentucky head coach Billy Gillespie in, and he was the head basketball coach and athletic director. We went to the national tournament 3 out of the 5 years that he was there, and we finished as the national runner-up in 2019. So it was a great thrill, not only because you're doing something like that, but it's my hometown. And so, you know, what better way to go celebrate than go to the national tournament?
Yeah, and you said, okay, so it's in Ranger, Texas?
Ranger, Texas. Just a tiny little hole in the road. Rangers are probably the, maybe a, about the size of Wrangell, maybe a little smaller. But at one time, it used to be very huge. It used to be the largest city between Dallas and El Paso, you know, back during the oil boom days. And then over time, it's shrank and you know, kind of dying out right now. But to still have a college, it's a great thing.
Great. And Ranger, that's on the west side of the state?
Ranger is kind of north central, okay. Just halfway between Fort Worth and Abilene.
Okay, great. So what inspired you to become the executive director for the Chamber of Commerce in Wrangell then?
Well, I had spent so many years in sports and in the newspaper that I just felt like I was ready to try something new. And when I saw it, the listing for the Wrangell Chamber of Commerce, I thought, hey, I'll reach out to them and see if I can do that. I'm pretty comfortable talking to people, and I don't mind a little hard work. So I thought, well, if they're looking and they'll give me the opportunity, I'll try it and we'll see what we can do.
Wow. And where did you find that then? You were in Texas, so where did you find the opening?
Believe it or not, I actually saw it on KSTK when I was being that we had lived in Alaska, and I'm a huge Iditarod fan and stuff like that, I looked around, and from time to time, I just looked at different places in Alaska, and I happened to be coming across KSDK, and I saw it, that it was brought, that they were looking for someone, and I went, oh, wow, I'll look at that. I'll check into that.
That's so interesting. Yeah. Wow. Okay, and so you mentioned March 31st is the deadline for the 2024 Chamber members map, right?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, we are, and in the past, they have put out a very nice little map product. We worked with Tracy down at the Compass Line, and she helps us create this map. And in order to be on the map that we distribute to all the visitors coming into town off of the cruise ships and off the planes, people pay their membership dues, and if they're a member of the chamber, they go on this map so that people can find them. It's a walking map. So, you know, if someone comes into town, they're looking for you. We'll help you. We'll help them find you.
Yeah, I have one of those maps. So they're lovely. Does the Chamber of Commerce also put out the app? You know, the app that's a map. You can upload it on your phone, and it tells you where to hike and stuff.
We do not at this time, but that's a great idea. It's something we should probably look into. Any way that we can promote businesses here in town, that's kind of our goal.
Yeah, yeah. I know I've seen it around. I've seen the advertisement.
I will bring that up to the board of directors. I'm sure that that's something they'd be interested in.
Yeah, especially with the tourists, you know, all they need is their phone. Okay, and then April 13th is the Chamber Dinner, and the theme is Sunset Sip and Sway. It's also an award night, too, at the Stick.
It is.
And so the Chamber is looking for donations from member businesses, right?
Yeah, so we use those as, like, door prizes and, you know, fundraising-type deals for the Chamber. It's one of our larger fundraisers of the year, so it's important so that for everyone, you know, the more that the chamber has in, the more that it can do for everyone else. And we're looking forward to it. April 13th, we'll pass out the Citizen of the Year and the Volunteer of the Year awards, and it's a couple of others. Should be a lot of fun. It'll be my first one to go through, so it'll be kind of feeling my way through it. But once we get through that one, it'll all be downhill.
Yeah, and who's invited to the chamber dinner then?
Well, everyone is invited. You know, if you want to come by, and you have to buy it. Again, it's a fundraiser, so you buy the ticket, you come by, you'll have, I believe it's prime rib, and they're having some kind of fish and some other kind of food item that for those who aren't into fish. So, and you can order whatever you want off of the menu. It's being catered by the stick. So, yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Right. And, yeah, the theme. So, Sunset Sip and Sway, is this a dress-up dinner then?
I think it is. I think you have to give Liz Roundtree, who's one of our board directors, credit for the Sunset Sip and Sway. I think she was thinking more of a Hawaiian type thing. So, you know, but if you want to come decked out in a tux, we'll certainly let you in.
That sounds fun. It sounds fun. Hawaiian theme in Alaska Airlines goes to Hawaii. So
that's right.
Okay. What else is going on at the Chamber of Commerce then?
Well, like right now, we're just trying to organize things. Over the past couple of months, prior to I got here, I guess it was a little disorganized because there was people coming and going. And so we've been working hard at just organizing ourselves. And so trying to get things going, we're trying to get back with the Salmon Derby, get it on the go, working on the 4th of July, working on all the other events that we put together so that we can draw people downtown to the businesses and try to help the business community here.
Yeah, and what is the Salmon Derby?
Well, the Salmon Derby is depending on the year that you can have the tournament. Those who catch salmon, if you catch the biggest one, you can win a prize.
Okay, cool. And anything else you'd like to share about the Chamber of Commerce or yourself?
I'd like to say, come by and visit with us, give us a trot. We'd love to have everybody be a member of the chamber because the more members we have, the stronger we are and the more we're going to be able to help everyone. And I think that's the goal of the chamber, is just to help every business in town. You know, we're all businesses are looking to make money and trying to stay afloat, and times aren't always the easiest. So if we can have something and we can help develop that, we're all for that.
Yeah, and what's the address?
I do not know the address to the building. I think it's 103 Front Street, but if you have trouble finding it, it's going to the Stick Inn. We're right there.
Oh, great. Okay, perfect. It's right next to the cafe there.
Yeah, right next door to the cafe.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Tommy, for coming in and chatting with us.
Oh, you bet. Hey, anytime.
It was great to meet you, and yeah, thank you. That was Talk on the Rock with Tommy Wells from the Chamber of Commerce. And we're going to hop right back into audio aftermath.